All right, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he should thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." What we're seeing here is the calling, or the beginning of the calling of some of the disciples here. And of course, we know who Simon is. This is Simon Peter, the impulsive one, the one who would later go on to preach such heavy sermons and face such difficult tribulation because of the stands he was taking. And I tell you why, we give Peter a bad rap, but he was, again, a close follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see the very beginning of their relationship. Now, Simon Peter here, he's sitting here with some of his friends, some of his co-workers, and they're having what could have potentially been a very rough night. Here they had worked all night looking for fish. Now, at the time, they probably didn't have a big store of fish. You didn't have fish. You didn't have anything to sell. So there they are. They're sitting there. How are we gonna pay the bills? How are we gonna do this? How are we gonna do that? Because when you work all night and you come in with nothing to sell, there goes your paycheck. So this could have been a very disastrous night, and you got to try to imagine yourself being Simon Peter for a second. He's there. He's got these empty nets. He's washing his nets that did him no good that night. And all of a sudden, here comes this man to get up on his boat. And while he's over there in the water washing his nets, a man steps up onto his boat, and he begins to teach. Now, I don't know anything about Peter's attitude or the attitude of the other fishermen here during this time, but I can tell you this. I would probably be just a little irritated by this. If I worked all day and all night and had nothing to show for it, I often get a little cranky. I used to do that in the apartment industry. We'd go a whole week sometimes at one particular property. We had that big expensive price tag on it. So I'd go a whole week and have nobody apply, a whole week and rent to nobody. It was very frustrating. Now, again, there's Peter. It's early in the morning. It's almost time for him to take off and maybe go get some sleep to prepare for the next night's worth of work, where he would probably have to do a little bit more. And there's this guy teaching. And you could tell by the way that Peter responds here that he's intrigued, that he's interested. Because I'll tell you right now, if I'm washing my nets and a man comes up and stands up on my boat and asks me to go back out fishing, I'm going to tell him no. I'm going to tell him I'm not interested. I'm going to tell him, nope, get off the property. Get out of here. Get off of my boat. Leave my stuff alone. Peter, however, he was open. It's good to be open to the word of the Lord. It's good to be open to Jesus when he pushes you, when he prods you to do something. I tell you what, it changes your life when Jesus says to do something, when God says to do something, and you step out and you do it. It'll make a big difference in your life. Now, what they had here was exactly that. They had life. They had life. You know, sometimes in life, you get a net full of fish. Sometimes in life, you have an empty net. And as a matter of fact, you see that all across the world, right? As a matter of fact, Psalm 73, verse 12, Asaph says this, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches," right? Now, it's wrong for us to sit there, or at least it's deceiving for us to sit here and say that a worldly lifestyle brings no good whatsoever. Right? If I go and I steal $1 million from my company, I've got $1 million if I get away with it, right? If I go out and I'm peddling gambling or drugs or things like that, that can be very lucrative. There are people out there that preach and they sing and they entertain people with a sinful lifestyle. Guess what? They make millions of dollars. And I tell you what, sometimes life is like that. The devil persuades things. You're able to make some money off of some wrong things. But life is not about the coin. The warning against an ungodly lifestyle has never been because there's no financial merit to it or because you can't become prosperous that way, right? Drug dealers, they engage in illegal and sinful behavior, but they will still make their money. The warning here is there because a life without Christ that doesn't honor God will have to be answered for in eternity. That is why we preach against sin. That is why we preach for Christ. We don't do that because we don't think there's any blessings in it. We don't do it because we think that they can't make money off of it. That's not the sermon we preach. Sin will be judged by God. That's why we preach against it. We preach the cause of Christ. We preach the gospel because otherwise people will die and go to hell, right? But again, the truth is there. You can make money off of sin, but it is not a sustaining way to live. And at the end of your life, you'll take none of it with you. None of that will matter. Right? Enormous fortunes can be won and lost in gambling. Enormous fortunes can be won and lost in dirty dealing and bad business practices, in lying and cheating. But it's never about the fortune. Right? And this, of course, you see sometimes those people, they'll get up, right? They'll ride the high to all, whatever it is that they're doing, they'll ride it to riches and glory, and the next day it'll be gone. In regular, everyday, godless life, there are times where the nets are full. There are times where the nets are empty. It is unpredictable. It is hard to keep a track of. But aren't you glad that life is more than just what's in your nets? Or aren't you glad that life is about more than just what's in your bank account? Even right now, what's in your gas tank? Aren't you glad to see the money come down or the price come down on those gas prices just a little bit? Be good to see it go down a whole lot more. I'd like to see it cut in half, but here we are. Right? There is times in regular, mundane, everyday life where the nets are full. Even a cursed earth will still grow some fruit, but you must have eternity that you must contend with. You have that day where you're going to stand before the Lord. And of course, we also see times out there where there aren't any fish in their nets. And that's where the people sit there and they moan and they complain and life isn't easy, life isn't fair, and they boohoo and they cry. Why? Because they've got nothing to put their lives on, nothing to put their faith in. Right? All they know is happiness when the bank is full, happiness when I've got the drugs to take, happiness when I've got stuff in the front yard, happiness when I've got toys in the backyard. That's how they dictate their happiness. Do I have things or do I not have things? Folks, that is not life. That is not the meaning of life. But what they had, that was it. All they had was that life. They lived and died based on what they could put in the net. The life that God calls us to is deeper and richer and more meaningful. And when I say richer, I don't mean financially. It's richer in the quality of things of life. It is better. It is better to trust in the Lord than to just have a flat-out, old-fashioned life. There are people out there right now, they're headed off to the bar. What are they going to do? They're going to drink up a paycheck. And then they're going to come home and they're going to get a headache the next morning. They're going to slap some Gatorade and go back to work to make more money so they could go back to the bar. Fill the net so I could empty it on my sin. Fill the net so I could go do other things with it. Fill the net so I could have stuff. And to them, that's life. And at the end of it, their 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years of life, however it is that they've got, they use it, they waste, and at the end, they've got nothing to show for it, right? The things we build our lives on are things that last for eternity. Our treasure ought to be built up in heaven. Life is about far more than just how many fish are in your net. If life was it, That would be it, folks. Let's go ahead and shut things down. Let's go ahead and head on out there and perhaps buy some fancy motorcycles of our own. Go cruising up and down the road. Let's go out there and bet and gamble and lie and cheat to build up our bank accounts. Because I tell you what, if this was it, that's the highest you'll ever have. But we as Christians, we've got more than that. We've got more than just the money we can make. We've got an eternity in heaven. We've got things that money cannot afford, that fame cannot get you. We've got wonderful things, heavenly things to look forward to in the life that God has given us. Now, as we see here, yes, they had life, but what they ended up with that night was, or that morning, was abundance. They had abundance. Hey, come on out, push out a little bit. And there's Peter, man. He's sitting there. You're on my boat. I'm over here washing my nets that stayed empty all night. Fine, I guess we'll go out there. And he gets in the boat and they head on out. And all of a sudden, as we see, verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. They had so many fish that they could not bring it in without breaking the net. As we continue to read on, they had to bring over others that would come and help them, and both boats were filled. On a night that was bankrupt, they got blessings. And I tell you what, this is exactly what it's like when the Lord saves you. Right? You feel like you've got everything. Your cup's overflowing. Everything is amazing. But guess what? 3 or 4 days after this catch, those fish were probably gone. They were sold. Bills were paid. People had eaten them. If not, they had quickly began to rot. They didn't have a refrigerator or a deep freeze to hide things in. Right? Those fish were gone. Why? Because the physical abundance does not last long. Right? Again, I've met so many people, you know, what happened to you? Well, we're moving up, we're getting a new apartment because we won the lotto and we got X hundreds of thousands of dollars. Hey, we got a brand new job. In one particular, it was a lady going to work as a news anchor. I got a brand new job. She was all excited. And I tell you what, that job lasted about 3 or 4 months. And all of a sudden, she's demoted into a lesser-paying job. And she's got this great big bill to pay. Why? Physical abundance does not last long. I'm glad that God does not just give us physical abundance. Right? We at our church, we have things. We've got great things. I love the pole barn. People tell us about how jealous they are of how much storage space we have. We get people to come to the conference and they look at the kitchen and you just kind of see, you could tell who in their church works in the kitchen there because they're looking at some of the stuff. They're looking at the giant stove and all the sinks in the kitchen. We have abundance. But that is not the abundance that we just need to strive for. That is just the extra blessing God gives to us. We want spiritual abundance. Lord, speak to me and speak to me often. Lord, reveal to me something from your word. And while you're at it, reveal to me so much from your word. Give me as much as I can handle and then expand my ability to handle it, right? Give me more and more. Life is one thing. Physical abundance is one thing, but a spiritual abundance, that ought to be what we crave. Why? Give me the ability to withstand in the day. Give me the ability to do all to stand as we just preached. Let me be able to do everything I can to do what you've asked me to do. When I have problems, I want those verses. I want the Holy Spirit to be able to move me and shape me and remind me of what your word has to say. And I don't want just a little bit of it. I want a lot of it, right? Think of Elisha. Elisha got a request. What did he ask for? He didn't ask for a blessed ministry. He didn't ask for more stuff. He didn't ask for the best of chariots. What did he ask for? Give me a double portion of what you gave Elijah. That ought to be, hey, whatever it is, Lord, that you can give, I want two of them. I just bless me spiritually in knowledge and wisdom and discernment and boldness. Give me all of these things that I may turn around and give them to you. Because that is, again, the heart of spiritual abundance. Not just that I would have things, but that I would take those things and serve the Lord with them. You give me talent. Oh, yes, Lord, please expand this talent so that I may turn around and use even more of it for you. That is my desire. That is my heart to serve you with literally everything I have and everything you can give me to do, right? We in our spirit, we become weak, we become tired. I've noticed that in the last few weeks or so, as things are clicking and moving and there's obstacles to jump over here and there, I feel it wear on me. So what do? You get down on your knees. Lord, give me some of your strength. Help me not to do this on my own. And guess what the Lord does? He doles it out. He gives it to you in abundance. So what do? We take around, we turn that strength, we give that back. All right, Lord, thank you. Now let's get some things done. Let's get some excitement going. Let's get some things moving for you, Lord, so that we can know that we're serving you with everything. What you've given us, what I have, I am going to put that into serving you. What they found was a bad day turned into an unforgettable day. When the Lord saves you, when he answers your prayers, when he gives you that extra dose that you need to get the things done, when he makes the things happen, when little coincidences crop up, he can turn a bad day into an amazing day, an unforgettable day. Don't we all have those times where a car wreck should have taken us out and hey, look at this blessing. All right, or times where things could have been far worse than we could have ever imagined, but we see where the Lord prevented it. Or right in the time that you need something. Here's a check in the mail. One of my favorites was recently we got a refund from the insurance company. How often does that happen? We had that happen as well. We moved out of Flushing and we closed out our accounts over there. Now our water bill over in Flushing was roughly around $300 every 3 months. Could you imagine that? I hated sending that check in. I hated dropping that thing in the box. A couple weeks ago, we got a check from them. I'm like, well, what a surprise. What an amazing thing. After all these months of writing you checks, you write me one. You know, folks, that's the way that works. Lord turns things around. He gives blessings when you need it. That's how the Lord works. And we need to be grateful for it. We need to remember those days. Mark those days, because there are going to be other days where the nets are empty and we're waiting on the Lord. And we need to go back to something to remember exactly how the Lord works. He even has this. He has the ability to turn worries into blessings. These men no doubt had families. No fish, no food. No fish, no money. He had worries. What are we going to do? And I don't know what their exact financial state was. We know some of the fishermen who were here, but we don't know them. But there are days where we could sit there and we could worry ourselves to death. What about this? What about that? Well, if this happens, what am I going to do? I tell you what, when you see the Lord and you're focusing on the Lord and he's answering those prayers and he's providing opportunities, all of a sudden the worry goes away. Right? After four or five storms, that sixth one doesn't seem so bad. Why? Because you saw his faithfulness in them. Say, hey, listen, yeah, I'm going to fall. I'm going to hit the deck of the ship. Yes, I'm going to slip over here. Yes, there's going to be trouble. Yes, I'm going to have a hard time. But I know that somewhere in there, God's going to provide all that I need so that I can solve this. God gives us abundance. And we need to focus on that. We need to be grateful for that. But what he left them with, as a matter of fact, but what they left with was a life more abundant than all of this. Follow me with you, if you will. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Could you imagine, of all that we know about Simon Peter, you ever notice him astonished? And when you think about somebody who's astonished, you could almost think of somebody who doesn't quite know what to say. You ever been there? I've been there. Where something happens and it shocks you a little bit. You're not quite sure what to say, but Peter, again, being quick with his words, was able to throw in there. Verse 10, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus saith unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now again, they forsook all. I want you to sit there and think about it for what that took. What did we see painted in this picture? Number one, nets. Number two, boats. What was the third thing? Two boats filled with fish. What did those three men do? They walked away from it, right? Peter and the sons of Zebedee, they walked away from all of it. Why? Because when you hear Jesus, when you know Jesus, when you're following the Word of God and you're obeying it, you see how little those things matter. Right? Yes, absolutely. I could really put my shoulder into it and I could throw myself into this career and miss church and focus on things that I can build for myself. I could build up my barns, tear them down, build up bigger. I can do all those things. But in the end, who's to say that it'll do you any good? There are things more valuable than just the abundance of this life. These three men, they heard Jesus Christ and they said, that's it, boys, that's all we need. Take the boats, take the fish, take the nets. We're following this man. And they did. They followed Jesus Christ for a long time after this. And of course, they're written by name in the Word of God. Their names preserved up until today. And for all eternity, we will know these men and their decision to follow Christ and leave behind the stuff. Now, this is not a sermon about you giving up your house, your car, your land, your enterprises, your job. Right? It's not about that. It's this, that life is paid for by the job, the 401k, the retirement, the side hustles, the farming. Life is paid for by those things, but those things are not life. They simply pay for it. Right? It always bothers me when people, they get all obsessed over their title. Well, you got to call me Dr. So-and-so. All right, what are you a doctor of? Art. Okay. Dr. So-and-so, and they're adamant about that. Call me by my name. By talking about art, that's how I make money. Well, what do you do? Well, I don't know, you pick your poison on this one. We've all heard people over-obsessed about their job and their title. They think that their entire identity is wrapped up in that title. It's not, right? If you're a doctor, doctor's how you make money. If you are an engineer, an electrician, you're a contractor, a farmer, a woodworker, whatever you are a child of God first and foremost. Those extra bits pay for the life. The fish in the net is not life. It pays for the life. What is more than that is what we're focused on. You know what? Yes, I'll go there. I'll put in the hours at work. But when it comes down to being at church, I'm going to be there. Yes, I'll put in the hours at work. But if there's something that needs to be done at church, I'm going to sit there. I'm going to put some groceries in my belly. I'm going to head over to the church and I'm going to get it done. Whatever the Lord needs, I will do it. I'm a soul winner first, a church member first. Whatever role God has put me in my life, I am that first. Everything else comes second to that. And we need to acknowledge that. He told them, hey, come follow me, be fisher of men. Now, here's the thing. The fish probably paid good. Being a fisherman in this particular area is probably a decent job. But what was more valuable to the Lord Jesus Christ was that they come out and they give the gospel. You know what? You can keep your job. You can keep your hobbies. You can keep your fun. But you better be given the gospel. You better be serving the Lord first. When it comes down to his wants and his desires, they better be first. Because life is not going to be the same. I mean, you think about this, God saved you. And at the end of your life, no matter when it will be, you will stand before the Lord. And it will not be the stuff of life that he judges you on. It'll be as a saved child of God. What he'll judge you on is what you did for him. What you did for him. Just recently, we went over and we rebuilt my grandmother's garden, her front garden. Now, my grandfather, he was a man who put a lot of stock in how a man took care of his yard. He had a beautiful front and back yard. He had a beautiful landscape set up there, took care of it, was out there every day. When I'd go over to Grandma and Grandpa's house, I'd be out there with Grandpa. He taught me how to lay bricks in the back. As a matter of fact, those stepping stones are still there. And I was looking at those going, wow. They've really gone out. They've really gotten grown over. They're really kind of a mess now. And I got to go back into the shed that my grandfather had. And guess what was inside? All of my grandfather's old tools. You think about this. He worked his life through. He built up those tools, built up those decorations that he would have in his yard, built over all of that. My grandfather is gone. The stuff is still here. Why? Because you can't take it with you. You can't. The number one reasons family break up is because a wealthier family member dies, or nowadays they don't even have to have anything for them to die and the family to fight over it. Right? That why? Why do they get to fight over it? Because you can't take it with you. As a matter of fact, I think families would be healthier if you just loaded up the casket with whatever they had and put it down there with them. Give it to the church, give it to the local dog pound or something like that. Be much better off, family-wise. You can't take that stuff with you. You know what you do take with you? The rewards for serving the Lord well. That's what goes with you. So yes, it is good to have a full net. It is good to work hard. The Bible commands us time and time again to be good stewards, to invest, to build, to make a good effort, to be thrifty. The Bible commands us to do all of those things, yes, but that is not the stuff of life. The stuff of life is what God has called each and every one of us to do. And the question is, how are you living? How are things? When down to the things that really matter, how are the things that really matter in your life? How are they doing? Are you giving the gospel? Do you have a close relationship with the Lord? Jesus said to these three men, come follow me. He didn't say, y'all stay here and I'll drop by with some tidbits every now and then. Hey, come on down to the, I've got a little building up over here. Come on down to the church every so often and I'll give you the gospel. I'll give you a good message. That's not what Jesus said. He said, come follow me. When you're at work, be following Christ. When you are at your chores, when you are at your recreation, be following the Lord Jesus Christ. Be serving him. Right? Stop and give the gospel. Stop and invite someone to church. Make sure that you're being a comfort to those that need it. Make sure you're being strength to those who need it among the brethren. Right? Send out the encouraging cards. Send out the thank yous. Give somebody a call. Just tell them you're thinking about them and you're praying for them. Pray with people. Be serving the Lord. Because my friends, that is all that matters. That's all that matters. When we see what will happen when we stand before God in the end, it will not be our bank accounts. It will not be how big our yard was. It'll not be how many hours of time that we've spent doing this or that. It won't be our favorite craft project that we put together. It won't be the look of our yards. It'll be what we've done for Christ. So if we're looking at things in the grand scheme of your life, and judgment day were today, and all the deeds you've done for Christ were laid bare, and the fire came and it swept it up today, what would it look like? What would be left? What could be said of you and your decades of service to the Lord? And I want to encourage you this, if you're not happy with that answer, folks, you still have time. You're drawing breath. And yes, service may look one way or the other depending on your physical ability, but we all have ability to serve the Lord. Perhaps it is just you praying for things that will take place. Perhaps it is you out there passing out door knockers with me. Perhaps it's you giving the gospel. Perhaps it's you making one more set of phone calls to the friends and family to invite them to church. We all have things that we can do regardless of our physical restraint. We need to get to those things because we are all running out of time. Doesn't matter how old you are. We don't know how much time we have. I was talking to Sister Paula Brock and she said, hey, the Lord's coming back soon. And I just kind of chuckled and I said, I sure hope so. I sure hope so. Because man, I don't want to see it get any worse. I don't. I'm already terrified for what it's going to be for the generation that I'm raising. What's that going to be? I mean, you look at schools nowadays. When you went to school, how many different drills did they have for you? Right? If you had school like me, we had fire drills, tornado drills. That's what we had. Nowadays, you got your fire drill, your tornado drill. You've got what to do in case there's a plague that erupts. You've got active shooter drills. You've got all sorts of stuff going on in these schools. Look at what they're preaching to kids out there. We need to be the counter to that. We need to be the representatives of God for every inch of what they are promoting satanic things. We need to be the answer to that. That is what we will be judged on. So my encouragement to us tonight is to look for things worth more than just a net full of fish. Because one day all of our nets will sit empty. One day the nets that we've built will go to somebody else. One day the boats will go to somebody else. The cars, the houses, the stuff, it'll all go somewhere else. And you'll be standing before the Lord. And what will you have to show for all the time, all of the grace, all of the strength and resources He gave you? What will we be able to turn around and say, Lord, this is yours? Because I'll tell you this, only what we've done for Christ can be taken with us. Only the investments we've made in eternity will last. So how are your investments? Stock market's a mess right now, isn't it? No doubt 401ks and things like that, they're up and down. They're very hard to follow right now. But you know what never fluctuates? You know what's never fickle like the common day market? Heavenly rewards. Where moth and rust is not corrupt. You could take anything and after a while it'll be gone. But up in heaven, we'll have that for all eternity. To sit before our Heavenly Father, to see the smile of the Lord Jesus Christ, to embrace Him and thank Him, to meet the martyrs, to stand among those that serve the Lord with their whole lives, that ought to be our goal above anything else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is a blessing to be. Lord, I just pray this, that You be with our church, remove any and all illness from us. That, Father, You would bless our church with spiritual growth as well as, Lord, numerical growth.